When I was a younger man, I'm not a younger man now. I used to be able to eat anything I wanted to. I could, in fact, we were just talking about it in the sacristy that I used to eat tons of sugar. And I was a chocoholic. You could say I could have taken chocolate intravenously. But as I've gotten older, the results of my carelessness have caught up with me. And so now I have to watch what I eat. And it's interesting. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. But the more I watch what I eat and hate it, the better I feel. It's really interesting. It's almost like narrowing your options. In other words, I can't go and eat whatever I want. I have to be careful and I have to make sure that I eat what I'm supposed to. And the more I narrow my options about what to eat, the better my body feels. It's interesting because it seems as though the human body is built in such a way that without some aspects of suffering, your human body doesn't grow. Think about this, for example. How many of you in here exercise, like go to the gym? How many people? Just raise your hands. I won't call on you. Okay? You go to the gym. Okay. Now, in the gym, are you making your body suffer? Which is why I hate doing it. Okay? So, it's interesting. You make your body suffer, and the more you make your body suffer, the better you feel. Does that make sense? It doesn't make... It's almost like, what happens? What happens if you don't do anything? If you just lie perfectly still and just enjoy life without ever putting your body in any kind of stress, you know what happens? Your muscles atrophy. You can't... Your body needs to suffer a little in order to feel better. It's the same thing with... And so we normally don't want to do what doesn't feel good. We normally want to do only that which feels good. But then when you do that which only feels good, your body feels bad. That at some points, that doesn't make sense. You know, it should make sense that when you do what you enjoy doing, your body says, "Yes, sir, that was really good." But your body doesn't do that. Your body doesn't do that. And so there are times that things happen in your life that force you to do what's right. It forces you. You know, when I went to the doctor, 5 years ago, and he said, "Son, you're diabetic." And he said, "You can't eat anymore what you used to eat." And I hated that. And for the first 6 months to a year, the very fact that I had to eat all this other stuff, and I mean, do you know how hard it is to go to a donut shop and look at all that donuts and not be able to eat it. But you know what? It's only because I'm scared. I'm scared. Every time I see a donut now, I think of my foot having to be amputated. That may sound harsh, but slowly what's happened is that in order to feel better, I've had to make choices that make my body feel better. And it's the same thing with exercising. It's the same thing with a lot in life. Now, why am I talking about this? Because you can transfer this, to the spiritual realm. You can transfer it to the spiritual realm. Think of your eyes and of your ears and of the different senses in your body as ways of eating spiritual food. You know, like, for example, when you read a book or when you watch television or when you feel great when you're doing something, the feelings, all of a sudden, we take in a lot of stuff. We take in a lot of stuff, and we do a lot of stuff. And at first, when you're young, you think, wow, I get to do all this stuff. And so you feed yourself all kinds of garbage. And you think it's okay. Even when people tell you that's wrong, you know what people say? If it feels good, do it. Do it. And what happens is that at first, it does feel good. And so at first, you do it. And you think, man, I'm alive. If it feels good, do it. And I'm trying to do everything that feels good. Except that all of a sudden, you start noticing that when you do stuff that just feels good, your life starts going bad. Get it? When you eat anything, all of a sudden you feel horrible. When you eat what's right, you feel better. When you do whatever you want to do, what happens? You ultimately, at first it feels good, but you ultimately end up being bad, feeling bad. God made you for something called soul food. Now, I'm not talking about soul food, you know, like at a soul food restaurant, okay? I'm talking about the fact that God made your heart to feed on Himself. And the more you feed on God Himself, on what reflects God, the more you become. The less you do, and you say, oh man, religion, that's for, you know, I want to do what's fun. And ultimately, I tell people, go for it. Just go for it. Do what you think feels good and what's fun. And what you're going to see is that the farther away you get from God, the more your life turns to garbage. It works. The more you turn away from God, the less you're going to be. Now, when you feed on God, what Jesus is saying, now please understand, even when you're reading the gospel, all of a sudden you're thinking, Jesus is saying, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. All of a sudden you start thinking, oh my God, is he wanting us to become cannibals? No, that's not what he means. Notice that when he talks about his flesh and blood, he's talking about himself. In the ancient world, when you wanted to say that somebody was really, really there, you would say, he was there, body and blood. He was there, not just his body, but his blood. Meaning, for Jews, the blood was the life of the person. And so when a person would say, he has to be their body and blood, he has to really be there. Not his empty body, not a picture. He has to really be there. And that's why Jesus says, unless you feed on me, you have no life in you. That's because what he's saying is, unless you are in a regular way in common union. Listen to that word, common union. It turns out to be communion. Okay? Unless you are living in a common union with God, you are basically dying. Look, here's, and this is hard to explain. I'm 62 years old, almost, in August. I'm going to be 62 years old. I can feel my body dying. I can feel it. Now, I'm not dying. I don't have any big disease or anything like that, okay? I have none. But I can feel that slowly I ain't what I used to be. I'm not. And it's the normal process of your body slowly going down the older you get. You get to a point and then it begins to go down. Now, how are you going to react to that? It's going to be one of several ways. You're either going to go freak out and you're going to have a ton of plastic surgeries. Okay? Because whether you like it or not, your body is going to degenerate. And you sometimes see these men and women with horrendous plastic surgeries that they're trying to make sure that it doesn't happen. And you know what they're doing? They're denying reality. And the reason they're denying reality is they have missed what they were supposed to be feeding on. Because you see, the more when your spirit, the more you eat soul food, what happens is your soul begins to develop and it begins to grow. It's kind of like, have you ever seen that the image of the caterpillar that turns into a butterfly? That's why that image is there. Can you imagine a caterpillar right before the butterfly comes out? You know what the caterpillar looks like? Yuck. It's the whole skin on the outside is all mangled. And why? Because it had to happen. Because that's the way that the transformation occurs. Your outside begins to go down, and your inside is supposed to be growing and becoming the you that you were supposed to be. That's what's supposed to be happening. The problem is that some people who refuse to do that, the outside is rotting, and that's all they've got. And so they try to patch it up as best they can because they don't have any inside. Now, those of you who are going to be making First Communion today, what's happening is you are about to begin feeding on God. You've been doing it, but all of a sudden you're going to make it conscious. Whenever you receive communion, what you're doing is you're making yourself one with God. You're saying, do you know when I come up to you and I hold the host and I say, the body of Christ, and you say, amen. You know what you're saying? You're saying, yes, I want this to happen to me. I want that God grows in me slowly, and I want to become what God wants me to be. That's what you're doing. Now, you can think of it as, oh man, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to go through this and go do my own thing. Good luck. I wish you well. I know what's going to happen. I already know the end of the novel. Hey, if you don't feed on God, and what I mean by that is not just go to church and receive communion. I mean, really put your life and put it in synchronization with God, you're going to be in deep trouble. The Eucharist helps you to do that. It helps you to stay on the course. And so today, those of you who are going to be receiving First Communion, please understand, what is next week? If you're going to receive First Communion today, what's next Sunday? The Second Communion! And what's the Sunday after that? And what's the Sunday after that? And you know what? You should be excited every single Sunday. And if your parents don't bring you to church, you call me. Get hold of me. And your parents will get a phone call from me. Your parents will get a phone call from me saying, how come? You know what you ought to do, those of you receiving First Communion? You ought to wake up your mom and dad next week and say, Mom, Dad, it's my second communion today. And let's go celebrate. Make them take you out for breakfast. And then the third communion, wake them up and say, Mom, Dad, it's my third communion. Every single communion. You know what? I still call my mother. And I call my mother and I say, Mom, it's going to be my 10,361st communion. But in reality, what it means is I got to live synchronized with God. That's what I got to do. And if I don't do it, my life's going to go downhill. God bless.